Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, this is Steel Ivory,
and you're listening to
Weekdays with Murph.
Hi listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today on the show, we welcome super talented singer, songwriter, and producer, which I forgot to put in the description of this thing. I know, bad host. Kristen Parisi. I will talk with Kristen about her career, music, and anything she's working on that she can talk about. This should be fun. And with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome the super talented, super sweet Miss Kristen Parisi to the show. Hey, Kristen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Murph?
I'm doing well. Thank you again for doing this today.
Yeah, thank you to you, too. I know you're probably really busy, especially with all that's going on in the world. So thank you for making time for me.
Absolutely. Before we get into this, I asked my independent artist friends a few months ago to send in liners for the show, and I knew mm-hmm. that you were coming on today, and that you and the girls of Steel Ivory work together. So that's why I played this Steel Ivory liner today.
Oh, I loved that. I was like, ooh, nice touch. Yeah, they're great.
They absolutely are. But again, before we get into the actual interview, just kind of introduce yourself and tell the listeners how you got into the music industry in the first place.
Right. Well, like I said, my name is Kristen Parisi, and I got into the music industry because I really just love music and making music. And I remember just as a kid learning what a music producer was. You know, I'd always thought that the artist was the one who was writing and singing and composing all the music for the songs. And then I found out what a music producer was, and that they were the person who had like a pretty heavy hand in the creative part of it. And I was just like, I want to do that, you know? And so just pursuing the creative arts, you know, and trying to turn that into a career naturally led me into the music business.
Awesome. And as far as in the production side of things, there's not that many female producers in music, period. So I commend you for that.
Well, thank you. I think more and more women are getting into it, which is awesome to see. There's like a little bit of a community on Instagram of it, but certainly like the top level producers that you might hear on a country record, there you might see the female artist as a producer, but usually if there's a producer on there, it will be a guy. So it's just an interesting, you know, dynamic, that's for sure.
And I know we were talking off air and a little bit earlier, but we have actually several mutual friends in common, and you mentioned this off air too, the country music industry is such a small industry. And we're such a tight-knit group.
Oh, yeah. It really is. It seems like everybody knows everybody, or everybody knows of everybody. It's especially, you know, when you play around live in Nashville, you end up hearing everybody at least once, I think. So.
Right.
It's interesting.
And that's what I love about the industry. I mean, I've been covering country music since 2014, I think it was. Holy crap, it's been a long time.
Isn't it like your 8th year anniversary coming up, or is that past already? I mean, you've been doing this for a while.
This is the 8th year of the podcast overall, in my sixth year of covering country music. Believe it or not, I actually covered soap operas for about 2 years. I covered soap operas, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. And I tell you why I got out of soaps, because music and I listen to pretty much all kind of music. I mean, from rock to country to pop, hip hop, I listen to it all. But country music has had my heart from the time I could talk. I love country music. I mean, we're talking old school Garth Brooks, Trisha Yearwood, George Strait, Brooks and Dunn, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
They got me hooked. I've loved country music my entire life, and I've always had a love and respect for the industry. Like I said earlier. So this is actually a funny story. I woke up one morning and checked Twitter and social media like I always do. And then all of a sudden there were all these national independent country artists following me. So I'm going, okay, this is probably a sign. So I said, okay, I'll see if we can try and have these people on the show and kind of phase out a little bit so much the Hollywood side of things, so I could focus on my actual passion, which is country music. And I've done that since 2014, and it's been the best decision I ever made.
Yeah, I've been following you for a while, and it seems like you really are at home there with country music and independent artists. You know, I always look forward to seeing you. You know, when you post about the different artists you know, like when we were talking off air, I said, you seem more connected to independent artists and people here in Nashville than, you know, some people who live in Nashville. You know, they're just who aren't involved in music. You know, they don't have any idea the number of great independent artists that are here. So props
right,
to you for that. That's really, really something I've always been impressed by with you.
I appreciate that, and I always say this: a good music is out there. You just gotta know where to look for it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, even as just a fan of music, listening, I'm always looking for places to look for the music. You know, because people are releasing great music every day.
And that leads me to sort of my first question for you. Where are your top go-to spots in Nashville to listen to live music?
When I listen to live music, I like Third and Lindsley. That was one of the first places I heard
mm-hmm.
live music when I moved here with a full band and stuff. I like going there, and you know they'll host local acts and. Actually, I got to play there back in December, so that was a big bucket list. I played for WMOT Roots Radio that's based out of Murfreesboro. They had a radio show there. And so Third and Lindsley has always been a place I love to go and see bands play. And then also just songwriters and up-and-coming artists. I like to go to Belcourt Taps. I'll just go there and grab a table and listen to people. And, you know, they'll do rounds there, so you get to hear a lot of different artists and songs. And it's just, the sound is always great there, too.
I've been to both of those places, and I agree with that completely. I mean, one of my favorite places in town, I'm not sure a lot of people know about it, but it's called The Row on Lyle Avenue down there in town.
Mm-hmm.
So, I absolutely love
that
place.
That's a good choice right there, yeah. That's a good one. Because they have that little outdoor area, they can open up the garage there, the little stage
mm-hmm.
and everything. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's a good place. That's a good place to go hear music too. I'd agree with you.
And for kind of a more touristy thing, because I know and that show's all about tourism. But for a more touristy thing, I love the listening room.
Oh yeah, that's a great place to go hear songwriters. They feature a lot of successful songwriters too, so you'll get to hear some up and coming independent artists, and then you'll hear a song you hear on the radio. So it's a great, they have a great mix of talent there.
And you know, I've lived in Tennessee my entire life. I've lived close to Nashville my entire life. Two places I've never been. The Bluebird. I've never been to the Bluebird, and I've never been to Sing My Fest.
Murph, I can't believe that. You of all people, I mean, you know, Bluebird, okay, because it's hard. It can be hard to get tickets, you know, but the CMA Fest, I'm so surprised because you're such a huge fan of country music. What keeps you from going?
I've never been to CMA Fest, and I hate admitting that, but it's the truth. I hate admitting it, but it's the truth.
Oh, you got to go one year. I mean, CMA Fest is made for country music fans, you know? I feel like you'd love it. Oh, my God.
I had planned on going last year, but my plans fell through. And this year is still kind of up in the air. With all that going on, this year is still kind of up in the air. So I'm crossing my fingers for next year.
Next year? All right, I'll put the thoughts out there for you too. Some more positivity couldn't hurt, you know? I think you'll get there.
True.
You did it, for sure.
I did have some kind of fun kind of get-to-know-you questions, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. If you could go back and change one thing about your career to this point, would you, and what would it be?
Ooh, what would it be? You know, there's one thing that comes to mind, but honestly, I learned like a really good lesson from it. I guess what I'll say, if I had to change one thing, huh? Yeah, that's so hard. Because even when there's something I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't experienced that or whatever, I've learned something from it that's made me a little bit wiser, or is this something that shaped me for who I am now? That's a really tough question. I'm not sure. I guess I will say one time I played a song that I wasn't ready to play, like I hadn't rehearsed it yet. And this is one I will definitely say, I wouldn't take this back. I had just written the song like the day before, and I wanted to show the people, I had written it with two other people, and I wanted to show them that I was really committed to working these songs and getting them out there. And so the next night I went out and I played it, and it was a song. I don't want to say the title, but I went out and I played it, and it ended up, they were recording that evening. They were recording video, and so it got caught on video, and it was not a very good performance, and it was posted on YouTube. And so a couple of people that I still work with them today, they give me a hard time because they're like, oh, that song is still out there. You know, it's on YouTube. You don't want to do that again, you know, because once it's on the internet, it never goes off. So I probably would go back and do a song that I had rehearsed a little bit more.
Oh, and that brings up one of my own horror stories. I was at this little place one time in Dixon, Tennessee. Which is not far from Nashville. It was me and my best friend. She turned me on to the place. It was kind of a live band / karaoke bar or whatever, you know. And I got the nerve to sing with her. Randy Travis and Carrie Underwood's version of "I Told You So," which is just a gorgeous song in and of itself. So, she takes the first verse, does it flawlessly. I mean, kills it, nails it. But gets to me about 10 seconds into singing it, I blank. I'm like, oh, crap, what's the words? What's next?
No.
So, yeah, and And she looks at me like, I will kill you where you stand, Murph. But make the long story short, I got back on track, finished the song, and it was mildly embarrassing.
Hey, at least you recovered, you know?
True. Yep, that was one of the horror stories of my performing life.
Right, so you can relate to my story a bit, yeah, for sure.
Exactly. I know the horrors of that.
Mm-hmm.
I know the horrors of that one. But I wanted to go back to something that you said earlier about the music industry, and and before I started covering the industry, and my whole view of it was, you make a record, get it on the radio, boom, instant success. I'm learning that that's not how it goes.
Yeah, that's definitely, yeah.
And
I wish it was like
and,
that, right? You know?
True. And I have so much respect for anybody that's out there busting it, trying to make it, because I feel like the music industry is the absolute toughest industry to crack.
Yeah, I could see a case for that, definitely, especially, you know, being on this side of it, like trying to career in that. It definitely is a hard
mm-hmm.
nut to crack, because it's always, you know, especially with how technology is, you know, one change in technology affects so many industries, and especially music, you know, with in the past 10 years, just in how people consume it has changed drastically. You see artists who at the beginning of the decade were being very successful with their sales and their marketing, and, you know, they come out with albums now and they really struggle to hit just even, like, I guess, you know, comparable numbers to what they did before, which just shows people are consuming more on streams and everything, but also in how they're promoting it. It's like a whole another beast of promotion, where I feel like 10 years ago you had to be on mainstream TV all the time and in magazines and stuff. And now, not only that, people also have to be constantly on social media promoting their songs. It's really, really interesting to see how it's changed in such a short period of time.
And also, it's become such a singles-based industry. And I'm one of those weird birds still who prefers to listen to albums top to bottom, because I feel like that gives me, as a music fan and a music nerd, I feel like that lets me see what the entire product brings to the table, you know?
You know, Murph, it's so funny. I was just talking about this yesterday with somebody about how it's a singles-driven market and things like that, and how I'm changing to, instead of trying to just do a single like I've done in the past, trying to release a series of songs at least, you know? Maybe do three songs every couple months, an EP, because I agree with you. I feel like a single might get you a casual listener. You might get lucky and be put on a playlist, but an album is more like an artistic statement of work rather than just trying to be in the marketplace. You know, I think that you can get to know somebody through multiple songs, like you said. And I prefer to listen to albums, too.
Absolutely. And 9 times out of 10, my favorite song on a particular album will not become a radio single.
Right. It's never the single.
Like, I'll give you a perfect example. William Michael Morgan. who is a good friend of mine. His album Vinyl. I love the song called "I Know Who He Is." It talks about Alzheimer's and that whole situation. That is my absolute favorite song on that album, and to my knowledge, he's never officially released that as a single. And it blows me away every time.
Yeah, I think who wrote that? Was that Casey Bethard? I think wrote that song. I love Casey Bethard.
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's just, it feels like we're living in an algorithm society where, like, what songs they're putting out as singles or what they're choosing as a promo single from an album is more about trying to make the algorithm go to work rather than connecting with people's hearts. And that's another thing I think about
right.
a lot. Okay, do I want to make something that people could sing along to on TikTok, you know, or am I better off writing something that's more heartfelt, that connects with people's hearts? I mean, I think that they both serve, all different kinds of songs serve a purpose, but, you know, it's more about, you know, who you are as an artist, I think, what you want to put out there, especially when you're a small independent artist, you know. But I can only imagine how they have to make those choices for an artist like him, like William Michael Morgan.
Mm-hmm. I see, folks, this is why I love talking to a creative people. I mean, just in the last 25 minutes, I've gotten so much knowledge out of this interview, which is not even funny.
I feel like I'm learning quite a bit too here.
A couple more questions for you, then I think we're gonna wrap things up and let you get back to your evening, okay?
Okay.
When everything's said and done with your career in the next 40, 50 years, whenever that might be, what impact or legacy would you like to leave on the music industry?
Well, one of the goals I had when I first started out and moved to Nashville is I wanted to write a song that, like, touches people's hearts and stands the test of time. I feel like that's one of the most impossible things to do, you know. And so that's been one of the things. And, you know, another, I feel like when I look at artists who have come before, you know, I feel like, especially female artists, they're always pushing the envelope a little bit further. You know, they push the envelope so that the next wave of female artists can benefit from that and be more expressive artistically. And I hope one day I can get to the point in my career where I'm able to do that and create opportunities for other female artists. You know, especially as a producer, I try to do that now, trying to work with female artists because I know how hard it can be to find somebody who respects your ideas creatively. And so I think that that's the kind of legacy I'd want to be, just creating more opportunities for other people, especially young female artists.
And just out of curiosity, how long have you been in town, just out of curiosity?
I moved here in 2012. Well, it'll be 8 years, just about as long as you've been doing your show with Soaps and country music, yeah.
Exactly. You know, and the reason I asked that question about legacy and impact or whatever, you know, is like we said earlier, I've been doing this show 8 years, and there have been people that have come up behind me and started their own podcast because they've told me this. This to my face, they've told me this. They've said, I started this podcast, Murph, because I see what you're doing, and I respect it.
That's like the core thing.
And I'm going to tell you, that is like the absolute best compliment that I could possibly ever get, you know. But I've been thinking about and my own legacy in this industry. Because let's face it, it's not going to last forever. And I think just beyond anything I do in radio or podcasting or whatever, I think I just want to be known as a genuinely good dude.
I like that. I think you're doing a good job. Yeah, I think you're getting there.
Well, I appreciate it.
You aren't all there already, you know?
I appreciate that. And one of my favorite songs is Tim McGraw's Humble and Kind. And there's a line in that,
mm-hmm.
in that song that goes, when you get where you're going, don't forget to turn back around and help the next one in line. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. I love that. I love that song. I like that. That's what you're trying to do. I have a lot of respect for that. I relate to that a lot.
And it's not only in radio. I mean, as I've mentioned before, and I tell all my guests this, if I believe in you and what you're doing, I'll be your biggest cheerleader and your biggest champion.
That's a good mission and legacy to have. And I think it's an important way to look at life, period. You know, if you find people that you believe in and you like, support them.
And I gotta tell you, Christian, I believe in you. I mean, that's just the simple fact. I believe in you.
Well, thanks, Les. That means a lot. It really, really does. Thank you.
If there's ever anything you need, I don't care what it is, you know where to find me.
I don't even know what to say. That's so nice. Thank you. And likewise.
Okay,
when you make it to CMA next year, when you make it to CMA next year, you know, you let me know you're in town.
Exactly. All right. Okay. I know we mentioned I mentioned social media a little bit earlier. So how has social media affected your career thus far?
Social media has enabled me to have a career in a lot of ways as an artist. You know, I think if I was more focused just on producing or mixing and mastering, those are services I could market to people around town. But as being an artist, just being able to connect with people around the world and not just being, you know, I play out a lot, and you know, I know my music isn't for everybody, and there's some times where I feel like nobody in the room is really digging it, and other times there are people, but, you know, on social media, I've been able to connect with, you know, kindred spirits and people who, they love music in the same way that I do, and that has been the coolest thing about social media and the impact it's had on my career, just having those people send me words of encouragement every now and again. You know, sometimes that's all that I really need to keep going. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then in just being able to connect with people through my music, that's what I've always wanted to do. And social media lets me do that without any geographical boundaries. It's really amazing.
Right. Okay. So before we wrap up here, what have you got? Got going on a career-wise that you can talk about?
Right. So I just finished mastering a 3-song EP collaboration that I'm doing with a local musician here, Adrian Taylor. And because like I said earlier, I'd been releasing singles and I wanted to release at least a series of songs. The whole album is a lot to tackle when I'm trying to, you know, stay in people's minds with my music, but he and I had met a couple, maybe like a year or two ago, working with another artist, and then just kind of fell out of touch, and he sent me a message on Instagram saying that he wanted to link up and work again, and so he started a couple tracks, and him, me, and David Reuter got together and wrote these songs, and I took them, and he took the lead on them musically, and I would take the tracks, and I record my voice, mix it, and master it, and so I actually just submitted it this morning for distribution, so hopefully by March 30th, it'll be out for people to listen to and give me some feedback on what they think of these songs.
Awesome. Well, I think it's about all I've got for you, but
okay.
Before we do wrap, I just wanted to give you a few words of encouragement and a little bit of advice. Whether you're producing tracks, I'm writing new material, I just want you to crush it. That's all I ask of you. Just crush it.
All right. Yeah, I will. I'll do that.
Awesome. Well, this has been so much fun, Kristen. I could honestly sit here and do this for two more hours. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Yeah, I feel the same, you know. I really would love to hear what else you think about the music industry as a whole, knowing where you're coming from radio and everything. I feel like I could sit here and talk to you much longer, too.
Absolutely. Next time I'm in Nashville, let's make that happen.
That sounds like a plan to me. You just let me know.
Awesome. I sure will. Well, thank you again for doing this, and I think I'm gonna let you go and let you get back to your evening. But you've always got a open invitation back to the show anytime.
All right, thank you, Murph. I really appreciate you having me, and you know where to find me.
All right,
right here in Nashville.
I sure do.
All right.
Absolutely. Well, I'll talk to you later, Kristen. Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye. Well, hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Kristen Parisi. I think next week we have, or next Tuesday we have my dude, my brother, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Kevin Williams from KW8 Country joining us. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to We Did It with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.